Sister, sisters, two sisters. Praise the Lord. Okay, he is my pastor of my home church when I was just a young people, a boy, and he's traveling with me this time. And the first time I traveled with Brother Noel and Brother Arnel Mercado. Remember Brother Arnel Mercado? Then Brother being with Brother Pastor. But he will be leaving on May. And he got only 6 months visa. He arrived here in November. November, Pastor? And I just arrived here January 19. But I don't have car then. That's why I just stuck up for 1 month. And I just, this car is, just rent this car. But my car that I'm using is broke, shut down. That's why I just rent this car for them for the meantime. But I thank the Lord. I will allow my pastor to testify, and then I'll preach and give report.
Okay, yeah. Good evening to everybody. My name is Rodrigo Felipe. It's hard to pronounce my first name, but you just call me Rudy. And my last name is Felipe. Sounds like Philippines. It's not hard to remember. I'm now 53 years old and married. My wife's name is Julieta. And God bless us with 3 kids. All of them are boys. 2 of them are preachers like me, John and Rodrigo Jr. The other one is Christian. We're still praying for him that God will touch his heart and he will surrender his life into the full-time ministry. I got saved October 23, 1983, and prior to my salvation, I was raised up into a devoted Roman Catholic family. And I was, my belief then was when I go to church Sunday after Sunday, and being a member of a Roman Catholic church and doing good, that is the way going up to heaven. But I thank God because one day on October 23, 1983, that was my birthday in the place, when a preacher go on knocking door for soul winning. He opened to me the Bible and show it to me that John 3:16, that God loves me, and only the Lord Jesus Christ can save me, and only the Lord Jesus Christ is the way going up to heaven. And that is the time that I received the Lord Jesus Christ in my heart as my Lord and personal Savior. And I believe that when I die, I will go to heaven, because the truth shall set me free.
Amen.
And God changed my life completely, and God called me into the full-time ministry. I was then working in a port company in the Philippines. I worked in the port company that is your motor company here, for 8 years. Because of God's calling in my life, I went home to my hometown, and I surrendered my life completely to the Lord. And I pastored the church, and I trained young people, and including my two sons, because I believe that training our own people, it is the fastest way of evangelizing our neighboring our town. And I train young people for the ministry, for soul winning, and then I send them to the Bible college for part of the training, and then after that, they go on to start work somewhere in the Philippines, and my two sons are pastoring in different places. My oldest son is 4 hours away from my place, and my junior, the second son, is 10 hours away from my place. And Brother Steve is the product of our church in Victoria. And I thank God because I started a new work before I came here, and his nephew, the man that I place in that place, he is pastor in that place, and he is also my assistant pastor in the church. And thank God because God allowed me to come again to America. This is my second time to come to America for deputation. The first time was on 2000 when God gave me the opportunity to travel in your country to raise support. And because of partnering the gospel and opening mission works, God allowed me again to come to your country for deputation to raise support. And this is now my fourth month, because I arrived here last November, the day before Thanksgiving, and I will be leaving on May. That's why I'm looking for churches and individuals that could support me. And you know, in the Philippines, it's hard to open work without money. That's why we are here, because in the Philippines, although there are a lot of people in the church who got saved and being a member of the church, because of poverty, they cannot give enough for the Lord's work. They cannot give enough, because you know, if they can give $1 a week, that is already their economy or their living, they are already in the middle class family. That's why it's hard. You know, there are a lot of people who are indigent people. We love to eat rice 3 times a day. But you know, because of poverty, sometimes we just memorize. You know why? Because no rice to eat, no food to eat. That's why we just memorize what we eat yesterday, the other week, and that's it. And you know, you are the most privileged people on the earth, because God bless America very much. Sometimes I got envy because God bless America. That's why you must lay treasures in heaven. The best investment for your treasures, for your for your wealth is in the Lord's work. Because someday, because you are part of the mission field in the Philippines, someday in heaven, you will see brown-skinned Filipinos like me, like us. They will tap your back and they will say, thank you, because of your support and your prayers. There are a lot of Filipino in heaven. That's why thank you very much for this opportunity. Thank you very much, Dr. David, for giving me the opportunity to give my testimony.
Thank you, Pastor. And I will use the Bible of Pastor. It's been 5 years that I've been here, 2001. Now it's 2006. My family is growing. And when Pastor will leave, I will traveling alone with the Lord. And he got 6 months, but the U.S. Embassy, the port of entry, the officer, the immigration officer, very kind to me. They gave me 3 years. But I will not tell them that 3 years. They gave me 3 years to stay in your country, the officers, the immigration officer, the Homeland Security. But they are so, the first time they gave me 6 months, but now they gave me 3 years until 2009. And
kick you out before then.
But for 5 years I started 2 churches that I came here, and to raise to build building in that 2 churches that started, and you can see in my display board, and pray for me, and if you can pick up one of my envelope and send it to the Philippines or to the mission board, would be fine. But you can give $5, $10, $20, or $1,000, but make sure you will send it before the rapture, and so that we can build the church building the Philippines. It costs $10,000 for one church to build, and got churches that need to be built in the Philippines. So pray for me here in your country. And one time I traveled here, you know, I'm alone when Pastor is not my company. My car just stopped, and don't know. But the battery is dead. I thank the Lord there was an American who was so kind and gave me a cable jumper. And it started, it's cold, you know. And I thank the Lord. Now open your Bible with me in the book of John chapter 5, and I will not take much time. Okay, John chapter 5, if you have your Bible with me, follow with your eyes. John chapter 5, beginning verse 1 down to verse 9. John chapter 5. Thank you for the Bible, Pastor. I like it so much. I will read it. The Bible says in verse 1, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In this lay a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another step down before me. Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Shall we pray for a moment? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Dear Jesus, we do love you. We do thank you tonight. Oh God, thank you for this opportunity again to be in this church. And I bless this church, Lord, tremendously and beyond their expectation. Just help me, dear God. Let your name be magnified in our midst. We ask the Holy Spirit, oh God, to speak to our hearts and give us the understanding and the illumination. Oh God, Jesus, we are totally dependent upon thee, oh Lord. We can do nothing without you. We are nothing without you, Jesus. We are just sinners saved by grace. And thank you, Jesus, tonight for this opportunity to study thy precious word, Lord. So give us the wisdom and understanding, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. In this passage that we have just read, we can see here a great multitude of people with different kind of sicknesses. It says in verse 3, lay among a great multitude. Multitude means innumerable. You cannot number. Many. Multitude. And they have got some sicknesses. The Bible says they're blind, halt, withered, and different kind of sickness. They are hoping and waiting for the moving of that water in that pool. Whosoever cometh first, whosoever disease he get cured and get whole. But there was a certain man here who'd been in that case situation. He got an infirmity, and he'd been there for 38 years. And he's hoping to come, and when he's going to that water, when the angel troubled the water, another man stepped in. So there's no first come, first serve. There's no rules, there's no fall in line. Like in the Philippines, you know, in the Philippines, our driving system is totally different from yours. We don't have speed limit, we don't have red light, we don't have green light, we don't have stop sign, we don't have law, we don't have just go. Everybody want go first. Just if you think you can make it, go for it. You just blow your horn. No speed limit, okay? No stop sign. No four-way stop. No three-way stop, okay? Just go. If you are coming, just make a big horn so that they know that you are coming. So just like inch like that. So that's the way we drive. We go. Everybody here want to go first. And there was a man here, been there for 38 years, but nobody cares. We see here the condition of this man. He was so helpless. He was in the midst of the crowd, but nobody cares for him. He was alone in the midst of the crowd. He got company, but no companionship. Yeah. Nobody help him to bring in that pool. Nobody cares for him. Nobody take care for him. Nobody pay attention to him. He's been there for 38 years. He was in a condition that nobody cares for him. He was in a friendless, hopeless, and helpless condition because nobody cares. I can see in our country that if we not preach the gospel there, our people are just one step toward her. They are hopeless. Living in poverty, 75 of our people are living in poverty. Sometimes what my pastor says that we eat rice, but sometimes we just memorize because no rice. You know, like many people, our condition in the Philippines are in poverty. But I thank the Lord because American missionaries came to our place, came to our country, and preached the gospel and shared to us the message of salvation. Through faith, by grace alone, by faith, plus nothing, minus nothing. And that's why we are here. We are the living product of your mission in Divor. And I thank the Lord for the American who sent missionaries to foreign land to reach the people, to reach Filipinos, to reach many other countries. There's no other country like American that sent missionaries. I never heard Pakistan sending missionaries to other countries. I never heard Saudi Arabia, a Muslim country, sending missionaries. I never heard Chinese sending missionaries to other country. I never heard Japanese sending missionaries to other country. But I do heard American churches sending missionaries in other foreign land. And I thank the Lord God is still using American to reach the world, preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to win more souls. And we, the Filipinos, is taking part of that common vision, common goal. And our team is to reach the Asians through the nationals. We are nationals. There are some place that you cannot, that American cannot go because of cultural barrier or some political thing or some thing, because there are some place in the Philippines, especially down south, when they see white people, they kidnap and ransom, you know. You know, but in my place, it's safe. It's northern. I'm the northern part. We speak 87 different dialects in the Philippines. Maricel, you can go there and no need for interruption, no interpretation. They understand you. Number one, the condition of this man. He was a hopeless physician. Condition. Number two, the chance that he got. What a great chance when Jesus came in that place. When Jesus passed by in that place. The Bible says, when Jesus saw him lie, because Jesus came to that place. The Bible says in verse 1, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And in verse 6, when Jesus saw him lying and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, Jesus is omniscient because he is the second person of the Blessed Trinity, of the Godhead. He knows everything. He knows our lives. He knows us more than we know ourselves because he is God. He is omniscient. He is all-knowing. And the Bible says when Jesus saw him and knew that he had been in that case for a long time. He knew that he's been there for 38 years. He knew. He knew the pain that we are suffering. He knew the needs that we are having. We know the pain, the troubles, the problem that we've been going through. In my place, just last year, we have flood, you know, in my house, flood, in the highways, six foot water. We just evacuate, you know. Just in the Philippines, year after year, we experience flood. So, but Jesus, our Lord, he knows everything. He will take care for us. The Bible says he know. In verse 6, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that it had been now a long time, and he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The man said, verse 7, the impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another step down before me. I have no man. Nobody cares for me. Nobody wants to bring me on that pool. And he don't know that he's talking to Jesus Christ, the great physician, our Savior, the great doctor, the great healer, the Lord. He don't know that he's talking to the one that made him cure or made him whole. That's why Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, said in verse 8, Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed, no need to go in that pool. I am he that can make you whole. The man said, I have no man. And he's the man, the Lord Jesus Christ, talking to him. He's our Savior. He's our great healer. He's our provider. He's the one that saves our soul. He's our Savior. He's the one that has great mission, you know. He left heaven's fame and go to this earthly frame for a mission to save us. He's a great missionary. Our Lord Jesus Christ is a great missionary. He came to this earth for a mission to save us, to save our souls. And in verse 9, the Bible says, and immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. What a great cure. The condition, the chance, and the cure. He was immediately cured, instantly. When Jesus forgave us, he forgave us instantly and immediately. We had been forgiven for all our sins. When Jesus healed us spiritually, when Jesus cured us spiritually, because we are sick spiritually before we got saved. We are in hopeless condition without the Lord Jesus Christ. But when Jesus saved us, he saved us 100%. He saved us from the penalty of sin. He saved us from the power of sin. And soon he will save us from the presence of sin. Amen. Our sins were been forgiven, past, present, and future sins. The church cannot understand sometimes that the Lord forgive us from our sins, all past, present, and future. We are not only being pardoned, we are justified. We are justified. Just if we don't have sin. Pardon is taking away the penalty of sin, but justification is taking away the sin. Cleansed. We're being washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only taking the penalty of sin, but when God the Father saw us, he saw no sin to us. We are being washed by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what a great Lord we had. He cured us and he cleansed us. He forgave us. That's why we, the Filipinos,
we cannot just sit down and relax and see our people one step toward hell. We need to double our time. For 5 years' time, we started 2 churches in the Philippines. And I hope and pray that the Lord will give me partners so that I can go home early and build those churches. You know, I can see a Mormon church, big, huge, Church of Christ, and Jehovah Witnesses, and Seventh-day Disadvantage. Yes. they got church building, but we don't have Baptist church in the Philippines. Sometimes I pray, God, Lord, maybe some fundamental, independent, Bible-believing Baptist church, washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, Baptist church, strong, King James Bible. You know, pray for us. And I thank the Lord for allowing me to come here. You know, it's been hard to come in your country since 9/11. 7 of my fellow Filipino missionaries were being deported. They are already here in America, but still they are being deported. We came here, our people just sacrificed to pay my plane ticket. It's expensive, $1,000. I don't have $1,000, but my people just sacrifice. They do sacrifice to pay my plane ticket to come here. So pray for me before I go home, I can pay them back. You know, so you need to pray for me. It's very hard to come to your country, but I pray hard to the Lord. My people have overnight prayer meeting to pray hard that the Lord will allow me to come here. And the consul there in immigration, in the port of entry, when I came here, and so gracious, and I answer all the questions, and he gave me 3 years to stay, and so that maybe I can reach more and send raise support to those pastors, to those missionaries that I get. If you support me, you don't only support me, I support missionaries, local missionaries that are not able to come here in your country. They're doing great work in the Philippines, starting churches, evangelizing places, but never been here. They're just faithful doing the work of God. So I also support them. I also help them so that for the furtherance of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm done. And maybe if you have something in your mind, you have questions, you are free to ask questions. You can pick up my prayer card, pick up my envelope, and send some help to build church building in the Philippines. And you can ask questions, anything in your mind, in your heart.
$500
will be enough. Monthly. Yeah, a month. That's why I'm trying to raise 500 of my 2 families. That's family with their kids and one wife. One wife only. And full time. Daily visitation, knocking on doors, evangelizing, no work. Full time. Yeah. Full time. That's why I have 2 missionaries that I need to raise support to them, that so that they can concentrate. Gospel track, knocking on doors, concentrate themselves in the ministry of the Lord to win more souls.
How many college?
Yeah, I've been teaching in the college for 14 years. I graduated in AB Theology in the Fundamental Bible-Believing Baptist College in the Philippines in 1992.
Where is it?
In Tarlac, Philippines. And the school called me to teach for one day, Monday, the whole day, from morning until night. I teach the students. I've been teaching in the college for 14 years without any salary, without any salary, because it is a ministry, it is a work. And those students, they are not paying any tuition fees. Just train them. Teach them. Train nationally. Is that what you're asking? We have Bible college in the Philippines. And 2 of these kids are my students in the Bible college.
How far is your church apart?
It's far. It's
1 hour.
1 hour. 1 hour
Where
drive.
Where is the college at?
Another 1 hour.
Yeah.
Another 1 hour.
2 hours.
So, another 1 hour. So I go there, 1 hour drive. You go back to it. You drive fast. You drive fast.
No speed limit in the Philippines. If you think you can make it, you just drive fast.
Yeah.
Blow your horn.
The roads.
Yeah, the road is rough. Sometimes fly. Before I came here, I saw a band that been rolling, and I put many people inside the car. No? They are unconscious. You can only see two kind of people in the road, the quick and the dead. in the corner of my place, it's common, dead people. Very common, because of reckless drivers.
Yeah.
Very common. So you have a strong guts in driving in the Philippines, strong nerves, presence of mind, eyes, you know, and strong discernment that somebody's coming.
Cars or mostly bicycles?
We have cars and public utility, and there are people outside, inside, and the front. When you're driving, just a small thing on your face so that you can see the road, but there's people the front, and the side like monkey. They're hanging there. They're hanging, and they got sometimes, you did like this? Yeah, they try to have a ride.
You have to be braver to ride.
Yeah, they're hanging. Because we don't have plenty of car. We don't have plenty of car.
Right.
No limit on the load, as long as the car can carry it. But I think here you get the load limit, passengers limit. In the Philippines, no limit. As long as the car can make it, you can put many people in the car.
What about your talk about rice? How and where do you get food? And what about the market? Don't you have
We don't have this kind of market. We have one market in one city. Everything was there, lying on the ground. Like in the Old Testament time, you don't have just open market. Open. Food is in the side of that. You just point out what you wanted to buy. Open. But here, everything was sealed. Your meat was sealed. But there, it's open. Open.
Fresh every day.
Yeah, fresh every day. That's right. Fresh every day.
Including flies.
We eat sometimes exotic food. Okay. No question? We got more than 100 students. More than 100. And we have also discipleship training in the church. Everyday training, like teaching them the Bible and doctrines. We teach hamartology, theology, Christology, demonology, ecclesiology, soteriology, theology, Christology, angelology. We have every night teaching. We teach them and we debate. We debate, yeah, about eschatology, dispensation, and all of your books. Our books, our reference, are from America. Our books.
3 years school?
4 years.
4 years school?
Yeah. But I got it 3 years because I have 37 units per semester. I'm full load. And I teach Greek in the Bible College. American Greek scholar came to our place and teach Greek, made us crazy. We memorized thousands of vocabularies, Greek vocabularies. And we read Greek Bibles. We read and studied the tense and sentences and grammar of Greek. And American Greek scholars made us crazy. And our eyes, we memorize Greek words. Okay, no more? Okay, I'm done, preacher.
Okay. Send American missionary there.